loved by criminals, politicians, tyrants, and citizens who actually believe being unarmed will keep them safe from the first three.
Exercise your rights in a safe way.
If you really think gun control works, you need to carry a potted plant around with you to replenish the oxygen you're stealing from all the free-thinking people out there.
Politicians that infringe on our God-given rights, he calls them out, he's not here to play.
Yes, you heard the man. Let's go. We are locked and we are loaded on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast. This is the podcast all about firearms, the Second Amendment, and all things pertaining thereto. And you already know me. I'm Royce, your host. Yes, still reeking of gunshot residue, toxic masculinity, and just an ever so tantalizing whiff of the cologne of my people. That would be hops number 9. You know it, baby. Yeah, man, if you want to have first access to all episodes of the Shooting Straight Radio podcast, patreon.com/Shooting Straight Radio podcast. You can be a sponsor there. You can get content nobody else is getting, video, audio content, and the like, and you get first access to all of the podcast episodes. Hit me up at Royce@ShootingStraightRadio.com if you've got a particular question or topic you'd like to discuss here on the podcast, and I always respond. You can also hit me up on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast Farcebook page. I always respond to all inquiries there, so you can also hit me up there if you like. We've got a lot to talk about today. Got some special guests waiting in the wings, and I'm going to introduce them to you in short notice here. I've told you before about my buddy Hank Hayes, and had him on the program, oh goodness, 2 or 3 years back when I was live on WMMB and iHeartRadio. And Hank is the inventor of the no-lie blade. I believe I told you that a couple of podcasts ago, and talk to you about that training item. And I tell you what, it is a genius piece of equipment. I've had the honor of having my shirt permanently marked up with one of those before, and we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. But with him is the CEO of OnlineAmmo.com, and Hank is the VP there at OnlineAmmo.com. I told you these guys were going to be coming aboard as sponsors, and they're not just bringing an introduction to their company into the podcast today. They're also bringing their experiences, and matter of fact, Jason is going to tell you a little bit about what prompted him to start OnlineAmmo.com, and I think you're going to enjoy the program. So I tell you, let's bring them both aboard right now. Jason and Hank, how you guys doing? Jason, you first, just so we don't have overlap. How you doing today?
I'm doing very good. Appreciate to be on the show here. Thank
yes, you, man. Royce. Glad to have you. I'm sorry you're freezing your butt off out there in South Dakota, brother. What do you got?
That is
About -5 degrees up there this morning, no?
Yeah, it was quite cold this morning. It's about 15 above right now.
Well, at least it got a little bit warmer, right? That's a good thing.
Correct.
Not going to go out front and make snowballs or nothing?
No, there's not enough to do that at the moment. So.
Oh, okay. All right. And with him is Mr. Hank Hayes. Hank, like I said, he's a serious instructor. He does a lot of training. He's got a training academy that he heads up. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to have him tell you all about that. And if you ever get up to the Virginia area, or if you already are in the Virginia area, you definitely need to do some training with Mr. Hank Hayes. Hank, how you been, brother?
Oh, man, I am fantastic. I'm so pumped to be here. I've been chomping at the bit when we kicked this off and decided to work together with OnlineAmmo.com and, you know, coming on to you know, being with you. So I'm just over the moon.
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't know where you get your energy from, but I want some. And if you can bottle that up somehow, I'll be your first customer. How about that?
All right. Well, I'll give you some of my energy and you give me some of that. Give me some of that deep voice. I will.
I don't know how to do that. I think B12 would work for the energy part, but I'm not sure how you get the deep voice thing, right?
That's right. It's great. Thanks again.
Yes, sir. Well, it's been a couple of years since I had you back on the program before, and I met you several years ago from the American Police Hall of Fame. And you donated, graciously donated, some no-lie blades there for training. And I remember using those. And I tell you what, it will open your eyes real quick to how much you don't know about disarming somebody with a knife. And it also teaches you that you don't want to try to disarm somebody with a knife. You want to just shoot them. That's the best thing to do. So I would never want to tangle with somebody. I mean, unless I absolutely have to. And if they've got a knife, I mean. And in that case, I'm going to go ahead and consign myself to getting cut. I don't want that to happen, but we'll talk more about that in just a little bit. Hey, Jason, you being the CEO of OnlineAmmo.com had an interesting story as to how this all came about. What prompted you to begin the company? So tell us about that.
Well, what prompted was, I've had a carry permit and I had to renew my license. Mm-hmm. This was back in the end of November. And all of a sudden I found myself being short of 9mm. And I went to the two local retail stores in our community. Didn't have anything. I went to a shooting range about 30 miles away. They didn't have anything.
That's a helpless feeling, isn't it?
So I ended up driving about 45 miles to a larger community. They had four retail stores and nothing. Nobody had anything. I'm thinking, what is going on?
Wow.
Somebody said, there's a shortage of ammunition. I said, I've always been stocked up, mm-hmm. so I never had to worry. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do? This is a Friday. I'm taking my class on a Saturday. And so I called up a friend. I ended up horse trading 100 rounds of 22 for 25 reman rounds of 9.
Wow.
And I went to our class. Everything was done, and I'm sitting there talking with a few students and the instructor, and they all said, yeah, it's hard to find ammunition. And I'm still stewing about it. So after the class, on my way home, I ended up calling the instructor up, and I said, you sure there's no place that we can really get ammunition at the time? He goes, no, we're struggling. So I ended up going home that night. Well, I slept on it the next day, which is Sunday. I logged on, did some research, bought the URL. I went ahead, created a contest for our logo and tagline. And come 2 days later, I had the business started, and off we went. We're just over a year old.
Wow.
And we're trying to show everybody that we are a reputable business.
Mm-hmm.
And we're here to listen to what the consumer's looking for. I mean, there's a lot of companies out there that really could care less. All mm-hmm. they're looking for is to make the buck.
Well, that's very true.
It is. And it's disappointing because there are a couple sites that, I did try to purchase some product and it never showed.
Wow.
So
you mean they never sent it, but they still, did they ever refund your money?
No, nope. It was paid. And you do your best to do your due diligence with companies that are new.
Mm-hmm.
You try to get some referrals, but sometimes the price is there and you think, God, I need to get it. Price is right.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, if it sounds too good, it is. It's not going to happen.
Ain't that the truth? And by the time you realize what happened, they'd probably already made about $500,000 to $1 million off of other people just like you, and then folded on up and took off to do it again later,
Exactly. Exactly. Wow. So we vowed to do it a little bit differently. We have a great group with us, and we are here to listen as well. So we have the ability for the consumer to put in a request, and we'll do our best. We can't guarantee it, but we'll do our best to try to find the ammunition. And as time goes on, we'll continue to grow, and hopefully we grow with more and more manufacturers. Right now we are sitting on about 527, I actually counted it this morning, 527 different SKUs of ammunition.
527 different. Now, what about exotic stuff like 41 Magnum and 44 Magnum and 460 Magnum and some of those?
We should have that. We have just a few boxes, but we'll have some. I mean, I can tell you a story where we had some 303 British come in, and one of my coworkers said, "You know what? We're never going to sell this." Honestly, it sold 2 days later. You know, we didn't have a lot, but I'm just saying that we try to be a little diversified. And if there's something out there that somebody wants, by all means, let us know.
Well, whoever said that about the 303 doesn't understand the cult of the infield. I've got a couple of buddies of mine that own like seven or eight of them, and they're geniuses about the platform, and they can tell you every little thing about every little nick in the stock that they got. And I mean, it's like good grief, man. Do you pray to this thing every night? But they're always looking for 303. The retailer I work for, we got a bunch of that stuff in, and it did not last. It went flying out the door. And every day we're getting people coming in. Hey, do you have any of this caliber or that caliber? You got any 32 or 327 Magnum or 357 Magnum? And we got to keep telling them, no, we got all this, you know, the good old standbys, 556, 223, you know, and on down the line. But, it's good that you've got quite a wide variety, because most people don't. And the average retailer right now doesn't have that kind of variety. That's for sure.
Yeah, you are correct. I've been told that it's been pretty slim for most parties out there.
Yes, sir. Well, now there was there another incident that also prompted you to get this ball rolling on onlineammo.com?
Well, the other incident, this is for my carry permit. This would be years ago. Unfortunately, I was, I guess you could say unfortunately or fortunate. I had left a convenience store. And when I was traveling, I used to travel quite a bit. By the time I got home, there was a incident that an individual had taken a cashier's life, unfortunately. And I did the timeline, and I was there 30 minutes prior to that incident happening.
Oh, my word.
And so I said, you know, I got to start carrying or do something here. You know, we talk about it, and you talk about it, and you just never get around to it. So I finally went through the process, and I've been carrying ever since.
Good deal. As much as I hate leasing my right back from the state of Florida, at least I'm carrying, and we are struggling really hard here in Florida right now to bring about constitutional carry. But in the meantime, I still encourage people to go ahead and get the permit, but at least start carrying your firearm. There is a means to do it, so take advantage of it, because an armed citizenry is what drops the violent crime rate. Here in Florida, we dropped our violent crime rate by 60% from 1995 to 2016, I think it was. 60%. And I tell people that's not because there was a sudden, you know, epidemic of morality sweeping through the criminal world. It wasn't due to aggressive policing. It was due to bad guys started getting shot when they started trying to mug people and assault, batter, kill, carjack people here in Florida. And they decided to move on to greener pastures, or they began to rethink their career choices, which that would be ultimate. So, well, I'm very grateful you didn't get caught in that situation. That's for sure. I'm sure Hank's going to be able to hook you up with any of the training you might need. So if you ever do find yourself in that situation, then you've got a decisive advantage.
Absolutely.
Well, yes, sir.
I hope you're going to take advantage of that too, Jason.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, we've already talked about doing that here in the near future. So
good deal. Well, you'd be training with one of the best, and I'm not just saying that to pump sunshine up Hank's butt either. He's a Class A instructor, and he's going to be talking more about his training regimens and things like that in a little bit. So anything else you want to leave us with today, Jason?
No, I mean, we are here. We are new, and I've had several calls come in just to kind of verify and make sure we're legit. Mm-hmm. Somebody will answer the phone if you do call in.
Good.
And the calls will get directed to whomever. Don't be afraid to either send an email in. You can send an email to orders@onlineammo if you have any requests.
Okay.
If you just have general questions, you can send it to info. INFO at onlineammo.com.
Very good. Well, I tell you what, I'm sure I'll be doing some shopping on your site. It might be after we get done doing this podcast. Who knows? But
you know something, guys, I wanted to add something here just while we're on the onlineammo.com topic. So when I was approached to possibly take part in this project. So, you know, I've been doing the training, law enforcement, and military thing under United States government contract and allied nations for this November will be 24 years, right?
Wow.
Yeah, and reputation is everything.
Yes, sir.
Reputation's everything. So, you know, when they approached, I said, okay, well, all right, well, let me think about it. Let me take a look-see, right? So I looked, and then I placed an order, and, you know, it came actually before the promise date. And then I had a friend of mine, actually, Jason is just finding about this right now, but I had another friend of mine from California place an order. And, you know, in California, you can't get ammo shipped to you.
Right.
So it's great that there was a phone communication and there was good follow up on that in the customer service way. So then I dove in a little deeper and we broke bread and we met. And I tell you what, Jason and the team there are all stand up people that I'm proud to have my name attached to because everything is reputation.
Yes, sir.
You know, we'll talk more about this later, but I grew up and my fighting background comes from street credibility.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, you can have a bunch of money. You can have, you know, all kinds of other stuff. But if you don't have your cred, if you don't have your reputation, you got nothing.
Yes, sir.
So these guys are rock solid and I'm just really pumped to be a part of it. And, you know, look out because we're building this thing and it's working every week over week. So
good deal.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that in because it's a value to those listening.
Yes, sir. Jason, you guys also sell optics and accessories and firearms too. Yes.
Correct. We do.
All right.
And, all that's separated on the website. You know, our name is misleading a little bit because we do have firearms. Ideally, we'd like to just be an ammunition, but customers have asked for other things. So we've kind of grown and adapted to their needs. So that's kind of what's going on.
Good deal, man. Good deal. We're going to take a little bit of a commercial break for just a second, guys. If you wouldn't mind hanging on through the break here, we're going to hear from my buddies out at Freedom Guns in Rockledge.
Freedom Guns in Rockledge, just north of Rockledge High School on the opposite side of the road, 1255 Florida Avenue, Suite A. You can check them out at freedom-guns.com. And better yet, just stop in there in person and meet Mike and his son Mike and Dennis and the rest of the crew out there. Got a great selection of handguns, long guns, ammunition, accessories, holsters, magazines. What are you looking for? Mike and the boys got you covered out there at Freedom Guns. If you need a nice big Liberty safe to stow all them guns in, well, he offers those too. He's got a floor full of them out there you can look at, and he offers free delivery and installation. Again, check them out at freedom-guns.com. When you stop down there, or if you're out of state and you call and maybe order a gun from him and have it shipped to your dealer, make sure you tell him you heard about him on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast.
Yes, great guys out there. Freedom Guns in Rockledge. Big Mike, Little Mike, Dennis, and the rest of the crew. Make sure you tell them you heard about them on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast. Also, you can sign up for concealed carry classes out there, and yours truly will be your instructor. Yes, I've been contracting with Mike to do all of his concealed carry classes. So sign up at freedom-guns.com, and I'll see you there. Yes, got Jason Henning on the line here with me and Hank Hayes of AmmoOnline.com. Online ammo is, yes, OnlineAmmo.com, not Ammo Online, correct?
Correct, OnlineAmmo.com.
Online ammo. I had that thing flipped around. I'm very sorry. Hank, you still with us?
Yes, I am. Yes,
okay,
sir.
You got quiet on me. You started getting me scared. All right. Jason, it's been great having you aboard, man. And I really appreciate you guys coming aboard as a sponsor here and putting your confidence in me. And I put my confidence in you guys. And I will tell you the truth. What Hank said, reputation is everything. It was the fact that Hank's name is associated with OnlineAmmo.com that brought about this partnership, if you want to call it, between the Shooting Straight Radio podcast and OnlineAmmo.com. So glad to have you guys aboard. I hope I can steer a lot of people your way, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, and hey, this is something for your listeners on this particular podcast. Mm-hmm. For this podcast, use the code free shipping, mm-hmm. and all orders over $200, mm-hmm. you get free shipping. And that is tremendous. That's very, very rare in the industry. And that's just our way of saying, hey, come check us out. Come see, you know, how fast you get your order. And, mm-hmm. You know, we want to earn your business. And that's our way.
All right, very cool. So use the promo code free shipping, all of you listening out there, to Jason and Hank here. Jason, anything you want to leave us with?
No, I just appreciate the opportunity to be on the show, Royce, and I look forward to doing this again.
Yes, sir. It'll definitely happen again, buddy. You try to stay warm up there in frigid South Dakota, my friend.
I appreciate it. Yes, I will.
All right,
you
man.
You guys have a good one.
All right, you too, brother.
All right. Case, we'll talk to you during the week, man.
Sounds good. Have a good one.
Yeah. All right. Now you're stuck with just me and Hank Hayes, and now you're all in trouble. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, man. Hank is a bundle of energy. He's a crazy dude. That's why I've always liked him. You and I got along from the start a long time ago, Hank, and just seemed to be a kindred spirit there.
Yes, sir.
You just got back from one of the northern states. I don't want to say too much because I don't know what kind of OPSEC you got going on with that. But if you want to allude to whatever you just got done doing, because you don't just train the civilian populace. You also train the federal boys and law enforcement agencies and such like that. So start talking about what you do out there at your academy, the name of your academy, yeah. All that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, it's the biggest honor to train law enforcement, military, and guys on the federal side, right? And so let's just go back to when I'm 12 years old, and this is a poignant story. So, you know, I'm 12 years old, I'm riding my bike, and, you know, I grew up in New York City, so I grew up on the Italian side of town, so here I am, a black dude. Yeah, we're doing it in the 60s, man. Yeah, it wasn't if I was going to get into a fight. It was when, with how many people and what weapons was I going to have to deal with?
Yeah.
So, you know, I lived in, it was all Italian neighborhood, so we're the only black family that lived there. And we knew one, besides my cousins, there was just one other black family that we knew from the church that my family went to. And Mr. Hunt was a police officer, mm-hmm. right? And a real nice guy. We would go over there one Sunday a month. We'd have the barbecue and the trampoline in the back and all that business. And if he wasn't working, Mr. Hunt usually would be there. Anyway, so I'm riding my bike and I'm just about to go through the threshold of, you know, my parents, the front door home. And I can hear my mom crying, like wailing, crying through the door. And I open the door and she tells me that Mr. Hunt died in the line of duty.
Oh my.
And yeah, right. So the story was he was chasing a guy, and in New York, with buildings go abandoned, they don't contain them and lock them down. They just sit there. Well, this is back then. I don't know what they do now. Over a drug deal, he was chasing this guy and through the rooftop, but the building wasn't maintained anymore. And the roof fell. He fell through the roof.
Mm.
And of course, they stole all of the the sinks and the toilets and all that. And he fell and he was impaled by tubing coming up in the ground, just went right through his body.
Oh, my word. Goodness.
That was terrible. So here I am, 12 years old, the first funeral I go to in life. And it's a New York City police, all blues and white funeral.
Mm.
Oh, man, dude, it freaking messed me up. And you happen to be liked by so many people. So it had a great, great impact on me.
Mm-hmm.
And what I said to myself was that I'm going to be a part of doing something about this. I don't know what. And I'm going to be a part of the solution. And that's all that I was left with at the age of 12.
Wow.
Right? Yeah, man. Yeah, you could hear like this. It affects me still. What?
Yeah, like 40 I can years hear that. Later,
right? Mm. So then as time, man, now let's go snapshot to now. When we're on the deck, we make sure that our guys that are protecting our community and are protecting our freedom and all the allied nations that we partner with, that these guys know how to freaking take down targets.
Yeah.
That's what we do. We do it with a fury and like a vengeance about, listen, you know, you need to be a hard target and you need to be able to identify quickly. Mount your weapon, get behind cover and concealment. If you need to execute that shot with great accuracy and speed.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So to the date, we have officially trained over 24,000 United States, allied nations, law enforcement and military, and a lot of federal guys, which, you know, just imagine. Just imagine the unnamed guys that you know, really not supposed to. In fact, I can't talk about,
yeah,
you know, who those guys is because you get read in. But, mm-hmm. you know, just use your imagination. And, yeah, that's actually we just came back from op, you know, working with some guys. So we instruct from everything from the rifle system and down. So carbine, SBR, small barrel rifle, pistol. Transition from rifle to pistol, edge weapons, empty hand, dynamic fighting. We do trauma. We blend this all in to scenario and situational-based training exercises.
Very cool.
And, yeah, that's it, man. That's what we do.
Well, I tell you what, when we come back from this next little commercial break and hear from my friends out at the gun site, Merritt Island, let's talk about the carbine on down. But what I'd like to do with this, Hank, is the average listener. Now, I know I've got a big following with military and police, but let's for the average Joe civilian, let's express or illustrate how necessary that is, even for the average Joe and the average Jane, to have these skills in today's world, because I don't think there's any argument at all that this world has become more violent. The United States has become more violent. They're running criminals through a revolving door, all of these DAs in these various cities and such, turning violent people back out on the street without even so much as a spank on the hand. And now we're having to deal with that. Society has to deal with those kind of hardened criminals. And so when we come back from this commercial break, let's delve into that. All right.
That sounds great.
All right. Let's hear about my buddy Steve Kennedy out at the gun site in Merritt Island.
I want to tell you about my good buddy Steve Kennedy out at the gun site in Merritt Island. He's got a 9-lane, 25-yard indoor shooting range, handgun and machine gun rentals, and a fantastic pro shop stocked with handguns, long guns, ammunition, accessories, magazines, range bags. What are you looking for? Steve's got you covered out there at the gun site. You can check him out at gunsightrange.com. Gunsightrange.com. And make sure you stop out there and check out the specials he's got going on during each week. GunSightRange.com. Make sure you tell Steve Kennedy when you stop in out there. It's at 125 South Banana River Drive in Merritt Island, and he's been out there for over 35 years. Make sure you tell Steve Kennedy that you heard about him on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast.
Yes, indeed. Check him out at GunSightRange.com. Check out, he's got his hours there, plus he's got all the listings all about his pro shop, his 9-lane, 25-yard indoor shooting range, and everything else you want to know, including classes there at the Gunsight Range. Back to my buddy Hank Hayes here on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast. We're talking about all things training because Hank is a walking hunk of badassery, and he does a lot of training. He's the inventor of the no-lie blade, and we left off before the commercial talking about the necessity of... Yes, the police need to know this stuff. The military, our military boys need to know what you teach. But certainly it's not just confined to their ranks. It is also necessary for the average civilian, the average keeper and bearer of arms, to train in the intensity that you train in. And as a matter of fact, a lot of the some of the things I've seen on your videos, I have translated into my training classes, especially in my defensive pistol shooting classes. Defensive Pistol Fundamentals is the name of the class. And I teach people, don't think for a second you're going to have the opportunity to get into a nice stance, a nice Weaver stance, a nice isosceles stance, and press out to your target and gain a nice, and get a nice sight picture and, you know, slowly press the trigger. And, you know, that doesn't happen. That does not happen. You're going to be moving. You're going to be, I mean, it's going to be high adrenaline. And I tell them your adrenaline is going to be surging through your body and drying your mouth out so bad you could spit a sweater out of it, literally. So let's start there. Take it away, Hank.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Okay, so let's start from a reference point of need. So, and then we'll work backwards from there. So let's say someone says, well, you know, I am going to wait until the cavalry comes, right? I'm going to wait until the cavalry comes. Okay, so what's the average response time for 911? Okay, so depending on where you live, but it's definitely between 6 to 15 minutes, right? So when we go from bang to bullets, meaning the door gets broken in and then the weapon gets presented. So what do we got? We have seconds.
Yes.
We have seconds. We can't wait any dang 6 minutes, 15 minutes.
Yep.
Right. So,
and bad guys don't cooperate. They don't sit there and go, okay, I'll wait with you. No problem.
Right. So, you know, of course we want to be responsible, you know, gun owners and operators. So let's just be clear that it is a bona fide threat. So while we're moving to cover and or concealment and mounting our weapon system, we are also barking out, some commands and some questions, you know, go out the same way that you came. I have a weapon and I'm prepared to use it. Right. Well, then visually we need to make sure that, you know, the dude isn't drunk and what we think is a gun in his hand is a Budweiser.
Yeah, he might just be someone who staggered in the wrong door or something, or decided he was locked out and decided to kick yours in, you know.
100%, man. Happens all the time. As a matter of fact, this just happened 3 weeks ago in our community. A fella who was EDP, emotionally disturbed person, a gentleman in his 60s was trying people's the door that leads like for the side of the garage,
right?
That, not the big garage door, but the one, you know, to where maybe the garbage cans are,
right,
and stuff like that.
On the side of the house.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. This two houses away from me, he actually got in to my neighbor's house, and she was turning, and then so it goes from into the garage, into the house, and it's in our track. It's mainly like the laundry area right there.
Right.
And she was going to put, she was going to change the laundry from the washer to the dryer and met this guy, boom, right there, right face to face, turned the corner. He was there. She was there. Now, luckily, he was spooked and he was just looking to grab what he could grab or do what he, whatever he could snatch. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't looking to harm anybody.
Thankfully.
So, I'm sorry?
Thankfully, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%, 100%. So, in that instance, you know, depending on the individual and how the circumstance laid out, could it be a righteous shoot? Maybe, I don't know. But, you know, we got this conscience to live with.
Yes.
And, yeah, you know, we probably, you know, he's not posed a physical threat or pose physical violence.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't need to necessarily shoot the guy.
Right.
All right. So we're talking about now leveling up and being situationally aware and reacting to the level of force that is brought to us with the right response.
Yeah, the first response would be lock your stinking doors, okay? That way people can't just wander in. So anyway, go ahead. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're not. No, you're absolutely right. We can talk about circles of protection.
Yes.
You know, as well, you know, exterior motion sensing lights,
mm-hmm.
you know, a dog's always a good idea. Alarm system is always a good idea.
Yep.
You know, pressure plates or stop plates for doors, all that stuff. But
IEDs. Just kidding.
Nice. So training.
Yeah, absolutely. There it is.
Right. And that's super important because we can't bring a hammer use a hammer for every situation.
Mm-hmm.
So you may need a drill. You may need a router. You may need, you know, a number. You may need a sander. A hammer is not going to do it.
Right.
So the reason why I say that is gun is not the solution for every problem.
No, it's not. And I think the more training somebody has with a firearm, the more confidence they'll have to give the situation a little bit more time instead of just reacting and freaking out and shooting. I think the less confidence somebody has in their abilities with one, I think they're going to be the first one to pop off and just start blasting away. I've been training for a long time, and I'm very confident with a handgun and with a carbine, for that matter. And I hope this doesn't sound like I'm, you know, self-aggrandizing, but I had the confidence that within about a second, about 1.25 seconds, I can come from concealment and put an accurate shot in your face within 25 feet. So most situations happen a lot closer than that. You already know this. I'm preaching to the choir. But the more somebody trains and the more skill they have, the less likely they are to overreact quickly and use the hammer when they could just pick up the sanding block, if you know what I mean. So,
yeah, absolutely. Look, by the way, you know, right on for having a sub-1 second draw,
mm-hmm.
or 1 second draw. That's huge. That's really, really fast. And if you can get that on, you know, point of aim, point of impact at 25 feet where you want it, that's some skill right there.
I've had the honor of training with some serious dudes, and they have taught me a lot. So all my credit goes to them.
Yeah, love it. Yeah, it's all training, right? It's
yes.
all training. You know,
that's
you
it.
Know we learn to clear garment, gain master grip, you know, bring the gun oriented toward the threat immediately, get that presentation up, get a good sight line, sight picture, trig prep all the way out as we're in that compress ready.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're punched out, when we get to that end of the extension, the trigger is already at the wall and we can break the shot.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So. But training, and that knowledge equals confidence.
Yes.
That confidence buys us time to think and situationally either move to cover and concealment or, you know, close on the threat without our weapon system, and we can use empty hands if we need to. Mm-hmm. But all of this ties in to having confidence and knowing without question that I can engage threat one at the 10 o'clock and I can engage threat two at the 3 o'clock. And I can do all of this while moving, getting mm-hmm. behind cover and concealment, and do this in 3 seconds. So now we know, oh, I got this time. And because most bad guys don't have that skill set.
No, they don't. And when you take them out of their loop, I'm saying this for the benefit of the audience, because I know you already know this stuff, what I'm about to say. Bad guys are looking for victims. They're not looking for opponents. Of course, there's some out there that are absolute, you know, class A predators, and they don't mind putting their life on the line. Some of them are just serious, you know, evil people. But most of them, your average run-of-the-mill bad guy, as soon as you start bringing a fight to them and you don't show them that scared face, and suddenly you become a threat to them, all suddenly they're out of their game. They take them out of their OODA loop. They're suddenly reacting to you instead of vice versa, and that messes them all up. You know, a lot like crooked politicians. You know?
Yeah, I love it. You know, this is a big element of what we teach, and what we're known for is the psychological side.
Yes.
And gaining psychological prowess mm-hmm. over the attacker, or over, you know, walking with that air of confidence, broadcasting a vibration of, I don't know what it is about this guy or girl, but they seem pretty calm. They seem pretty confident. Maybe I ought to pass on messing with this person.
Yes.
You know, there's that. And then also, so here's the deal. This September 11th, we'll be married 28 years, got 5 kids, love them to death, love the companies that I own and operate. And, you know, my role at onlineammo.com is great. And I'm part of, you know, senior level in 3 different companies. Mm, but, bro,
wow.
I don't want to, but I'm ready to meet my maker if I need to.
Yes.
And that problem that's in front of me, there's not a decision. There's not a decision. I do need to hesitate. Like, if it's my time, I don't want to go. I don't want to leave my wife and kids or my friends or the influence that I have over the community. But I'm ready to die for my cause.
Yes.
So that means, dude, when we're going to throw down, we're going to freaking throw down. And
yes,
I'm going to be the first on that weapon system or to close that gap.
Yep.
To make sure that we neutralize that threat right then and there.
Amen. And bring that violence of action and the fury. You pour fury. If it's time to fight, the old saying goes, you fight like you're the third tiger on the ramp to Noah's Ark and it's starting to rain, brother. And you pour it to them.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
So, it's all about training. Tell us about the training academy up there that you run.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So we have, you know, 2 companies, and now the civilian company is fantastic. And, you know, we have access to, I'll put it this way. We have access to a PMI, just put it that way, a private military installation.
Oh, very
and,
cool.
And actually, it's awesome.
They're a military
fantastic.
Contractor?
Yes. And so we transitioned that from our other company, and, you know, due to the ability to have, you know, good relationships, you know, do good business, pay bills early, and been doing business with them for a number of years now, we can bring our civilian students on this deck. So
very nice.
So it's fantastic. I mean, we have out to 1,000, we have pneumatic steel. We've got carbine ranges, known and unknown distances. Shoot from a very, very high tower.
CQB too.
Yes, yeah, CQB, room work, just it's a playland for any kind of situation that needs to be replicated, whether it's an urban environment, a country environment, a cityscape, you know, close proximity buildings. So it is just over the top with what we can do and replicate. But again, the biggest thing is the mindset.
Yes, so, that's everything, man. That is 95% of it right there.
100%. So look at, so here's the deal. Why do these special forces teams use a company owned by a guy that was never in the military and never in law enforcement? Okay, well, that's, you know, some people might say, that's an interesting question. Why? Because the civilian sector can move significantly faster than the speed that the government or federal, state, and local executes on changing training, curriculum, or equipment. Mm-hmm. If we want to change it, we just buy and test and execute on it.
Well, I'm sure a lot of the skills that you teach, you have learned from other dudes who have been out there in that stuff, too. A lot like myself. I've had the honor of training with guys like Dale Comstock. He was one of the Delta boys that went in to rescue Kurt Muse in Operation Acid Gambit in 1989. I've had him on the program several times, and he was in town. I got to train with him. That was a high honor, but also, a very skill building too. And I got a feeling that's been your case too.
Yeah. I mean, dude, the amount of the who's who list that I learned from has been fantastic. But I would say much came from, lots of personal experience. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get into the brag list of how many encounters, you know, I've been in, but it's a bunch, right? And what we learn is, you know, the guy who hits first, the guy who hit fast, mm-hmm. and the guy who hits with a fury until the threat is down, he's not always, but almost always, is the guy who wins.
Yes, sir. And I've heard, you know, foolish men say, well, I'll give you first punch. I'm like, I don't give anybody first punch. If you even look like you're about to punch me, I'm going to lay into you, and I'm going to keep laying into you until you ain't no problem no more. So I don't give That's anybody right. first swing. That never
That's
have.
Right. No. Why do that? Why allow him to diminish our capacity to fight? And all it takes is one good shot to the yes. glass jaw, or for us to lose a little bit of wind, and now we have just less gas in the tank, you know, to complete that little battle right there. We need to keep our battle rhythm right on point.
Amen.
And what I was going to mention is this. Okay, so let's say. Let's say you have 5 days to train a unit. Yeah, 5 days to train a unit. And so how much is only so much physical stuff? And when I say unit, let's interchange that with civilians, any individual. Okay. So there's only so much physical stuff that you can pack in to a week's period of time. So we can say, okay, listen, we're going to teach you how to get a good stance. We're going to teach you how to get a good master grip on your weapon system, marry your hands together. And this could go for carbine or rifle. It doesn't make a difference.
Right.
You know, so again, stance, master grip, marrying hands together, bring the gun up and get a good sight alignment, sight picture, get good trig control, press the weapon system out, and follow through after that, okay? And then we can talk about speed loads, administrative reloads, cover concealment, malfunctions. Well, we can do all that stuff. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the week, we still only know X amount of stuff, right? But now, here's the difference maker. Here's the difference maker. What we can accelerate people on is the mental side.
Yes.
So if we show on the onset, the first day of class, let's say you got these civilians, right? And you take and show CCTV of a man breaking in to a house, beating the shit out of a 75-year-old woman who's been the pillar of the community, and then at gunpoint raping her repeatedly, and then for his shits decides to shoot her. Right now, the silence says it all right there. Everybody in that class all of a sudden is riveted, and they're like, that mother effer, man, you know. And then that's what we're talking about. So now all of a sudden everybody's like, I'm ready to get out on that range.
Yes.
That's bringing violence to action into the moment of the training and accelerating their action set.
Yes, and tapping into that fury that's laying in there, latent underneath. And we're gonna expound on that when we come back from this next commercial break, and we talk about my good friends out of the American Police Hall of Fame in Titusville.
The American Police Hall of Fame, proud sponsors of the Shooting Straight Radio podcast. Who are we? We are the keepers of the history of individual law enforcement officers. We are a facility that honors the fallen and supports their families. We are a training facility that teaches civilians how to be their own first responder. We are a venue that offers free tactical and strategic training for sworn officers. We are a great place to visit and learn. Go to aphf.org to find out more.
Great folks. Check them out at aphf.org. Make sure you tell them you heard about them on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast. Yeah, that's a fantastic lesson right there, Hank, and it is very timely. Because too many people give way to the fear rather than give way to the fury. And that fear is its own motivator. But when it comes time to defend yourself or others, fury is going to get the job done a whole lot quicker. And matter of fact, a good buddy of mine, Frank Repass, I don't know if you've ever had the honor of meeting him. He is a retired SWAT cop. And matter of fact, he and another guy are the founders of SWAT Roundup down here in Florida.
Oh, and yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah,
sure.
He's a great guy. And Hank has graciously come along as an assistant instructor in my classes, which is very humbling because I should be assisting him. But he brings this little one of those little self-defense electronic zappers, right, that are totally ineffective and they do nothing but really tick you off. And he will actually tell you, okay, you okay with me zapping you with this? And at first he's like, no. And he'll sit there and do it to himself and show you. He said, what this is going to do when I hit you with it, it's going to piss you off. And that's what you want to tap into. You want to tap into that anger, and it's going to make you ready to fight, because if you have to fight, you had better fight and fight fast, fight hard, and fight furiously. And I'm going to tell you what, he'll tell you, you want one or two jolts. Well, if you really want to train, take two. He'll hit you in the back of the arm. He'll hit you in the butt. He'll hit you in the back of the leg. He'll hit you in the soft area around the kidneys, whatever. And it's going to, buddy, something about that just gets you ticked off real quick, and you start pouring lead into the targets, man. And you'd be surprised at the performance levels that how they go up from there. It's pretty incredible. So I love the fact that you are really putting a lot of focus in this conversation on the mental aspect of it, because that is so much of it.
Oh, man. You know, so so a lot of folks, well, I just don't necessarily talk about it, but so funny enough, because of the way I grew up, I wanted to understand the think, right? So I went to John Jay Criminal Justice, and my major was psychology, so psychology of criminals, psychology of performance, and that was my thing. So building these mental brain synapse connections, bringing form from the formless. Now, this is deep stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So what we want to create is a warrior out of a person who isn't a warrior, and we want to do it inside of a few days. So how do we do that? We keep conditioning them over and over and over and over and over again, many different ways. So we're shaping their mind. So we show them that one video. And then we do a drill where they need to get their weapon system on really, really fast amidst peer pressure from everybody in the group. Mm-hmm. Then we bring them back in the classroom. Then we show them another video. Then we say, I want you to put pen to paper on who's going to be at your funeral when you don't put foot to ass. Who's going to be there and what are they going to be saying? Oh my gosh, dude, it's another thing. So wow. By the time we're done with this training and this immersion experience, they are a completely different person. Why? Because we did this over a 25-hour period of training in 2 days, and we're hitting that synaptic connection and tying that in. It's called anchoring with the emotion and the mental picture. And then the physical performance, and dude, it's like out of this world. It's awesome.
I believe that. I mean, because all the skills in the world won't help you if you freeze up and give in to your fear during those moments. You can't do that. So that is an awesome training system. And I'll tell you what, as soon as I have the time, I'm heading up to Virginia. I want to hang out with you and train with you guys up there at your academy. I'm sure it's quite a blast, literally speaking, yeah. In many ways too, huh? So let's talk about edged weapons. I carry a blade. I carry sometimes an out the front, pretty. I spend a little money on that one because I want a good quality weapon. It's got good good high caliber steel in it. It's almost impossible to dull that sucker, and almost equally impossible to sharpen it. But but it is a great knife, and I carry quality when it comes to a blade. The last thing I want is that thing breaking. And I've had the honor of training with some guys who definitely know their way around a blade, and they could probably turn your skin into paper dolls real quick, you know, that kind of thing. But the average person who has never done that, and also the average person who has never gone up against a knife, don't understand the dynamics of a knife. And I tell people in my classes all the time, if you are not skilled with dealing with something like this, number one, make distance between you and somebody with a knife. Put objects in between you and that person. Increase your reaction time. If you don't have a gun, the best thing you can do if you don't have any skills is turn around on your heels and run as fast as you can the other way, because that knife never runs out of ammo. It can, and matter of fact, you don't even need to have a lot of skill to do a lot of damage with it, just wildly swinging it. If it makes contact, it's going to leave a big gash on somebody, and you could cripple somebody for life very quickly. And obviously you saw the necessity of teaching people about edge weapons when you created the No Lie Blade. Let's talk about that now.
Yeah. Fantastic. So, knives always fascinated me. My dad was he was big army, and he gave me my first knife. Something just clicked together. He gave me my first knife after just a little bit after Mr. Hunt's funeral.
Oh wow.
And that just totally clicked on me. Holy cow.
Wow.
It's quite interesting.
Yeah, we caught it live on podcast.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's great. And so I had my first encounter with a knife, having to defend against it, was in high school. And what I ended up doing, just out of reaction, because, you know, I grew up fighting starting at the age of 5. Like, it's just what it was. And there were no adults coming, and you either got out of there, or you, when you came to, or kind of, you know, got beaten up enough, then you could go home. But so we used anything and everything to defend ourselves in a fight. But anyway, so I remember these guys came at me in a locker room, and man, I pegged this guy in the head with that math book, that thick math book. And dude, I took the wind out of his game. And what he did was he what he did, you know, visceral response. His knife and his hands came into his body, and then I just boogied right past him, you know, through the locker room. That was one situation. And then another situation with a knife was, so I went to Brooklyn Tech. You know, so here I am, you know, taking trains. I had to take a bus to a ferry to a train to another bus to get to school. Dude, it's nuts. That's good, like New York City. Like, dude, you can keep it, man. There's no way. Oh my gosh. So here I am. And it was like a scene from out of the movie. I'm getting off the subway. It's just getting dark out. And I hear on the other side of the street coming up from the subway, because of the way the sound waves were bouncing off of the buildings. You could hear this blood curdling screaming. And it didn't sound like normal screaming. It was, you could tell someone was in some serious pain.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy, all of a sudden, I see his head coming up as he's walking. I see his shoulders. So I see the head and shoulders moving. I see the rest of the body. Now, this is from across the street. I'm 15 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's holding, to me, what looks like sausage links in his midsection.
Oh, goodness. He was eviscerated.
Yeah, and they're all wet, right? And I'm like, what the hell is that, right? And then I look and I see, yeah, it's 27 feet of intestines.
Oh, my word.
Holy cow. So I frame all this up to illustrate that the knife, you know, man, it doesn't have to be sharp. You don't have to have skill to use it. You know, it doesn't malfunction. You don't have to reload it. Mm. All you have to do is swing with the thing and, you know, make a little contact, make a lot of contact, and you could do a ton of damage. But the big part of the damage is the psychological damage that it does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So then when I was 21, you know, I was hanging out with people I probably shouldn't have been hanging out with, at a place I probably shouldn't have been hanging out at. And this is a New York environment. This is just the way it is. And these guys come in this bar and they just drag this guy out and they stab this dude 17 times.
Oh,
17 times. I was like 4 feet away from it, right? And I heard every stab and the depressurization of the pressurized human system.
Oh,
so it was like,
but that's stuck in your head for up till now.
Oh my gosh. And actually when they got up to the stabs in the double digits, the 10, 11, 12, I noticed the sound of the pressure changed, because the blood pressure and the pressurized system, it was diminishing, because there's been so many holes in the guy.
My word.
Mm. Right. So this is where all that, you know, martial arts, McDojo crap that they show you.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man, whatever you're doing, it better work really good.
Yeah.
Because those images were tattooed in my head.
Yeah, well, I know Glock Jitsu really good, and that's what I'm going to rely on if someone whoops a knife out on me. They're getting shot, and they're going to keep getting shot until they're no longer a threat. Because that Glock Jitsu works, brother. I'm going to tell you what.
Along with a little bit of gun-fu, right?
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Gun-fu, Glock Jitsu, whatever you want to call it. That's what's going to happen on my end. Because I don't fancy myself to be a kind of Bruce Lee or anything like that, that knows some tricky move. When you see that blade, that's a brain changer, not just a game changer. It will change your mind about things. And I don't care how confident you are, you're going to get cut. And I don't like getting cut. Been stabbed before. I didn't like it. Don't want to do it again, even though I didn't even feel it when it happened. It's still not something I want to. And again, that was from me hanging out in stupid places with stupid people and doing stupid things. So that part of my life is well behind me now. But yeah, man, I teach all the students in my class that knife equals shoot. First of all, create distance. If they're close, make distance. Run, if you have to, the opposite direction while you are disengaging your firearm from your holster. That way, if they start gaining on you and you have to turn around and shoot, at least by then you've got, you know, some distance and you get more reaction time. But you definitely want more reaction time. You want more distance, and you want to bring that gun up. And when that gun comes up, make it smoke, and it makes smoke until bad guy is on the ground and cannot cut you with that blade anymore. And that's just the way it needs to be.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, who can argue with that, right? You know, there are a couple of things I would add to that, you know, knowing the dynamics of the fight. So
yes.
When I'm by myself, I can do certain things that I can't do if I'm with either a protectee, and that, so that protectee, I just use those terms to transition, you know, to, if you will, world. So
right.
If we're in law enforcement, executive protection, you know, military, you know, we got the informant, we got the principal that we got to extract, whatever it is. If we're with them, now we can't leave. We got to close gap.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And that, if I'm with family, my body becomes the shield at that point. And I will, if I have to take stabs, then I just have to take stabs. Like you, I'm ready to meet my maker at any time. Yeah, that you're also right. The dynamic changes when you are with your family, or what you say, your principal, your protectee.
Yeah, exactly. So this is where the gamification comes into play. Training, going, okay, can I escape to safety? Can I escape to get an equalizer? Woo, a weapon of opportunity. Can I escape, get behind cover and concealment, draw my weapon system out, be a thin slice, be a thin silhouette so they can't engage me easily, but I can engage them because I have them in line of sight. Okay, that's great. One thing. Well, or if I'm with my wife or my kids or my nieces or nephews, and so now I have to do the game just changing. We got a gamification that out through training, different scenarios over multiple times, so we know that, you know, we can move smoothly and take that one step pivot. I'm behind cover, and I have now, and all in that one movement, that one pivot, that I've pivoted, drawn, mounted weapon, and I'm good to, well, situationally identify all the things that are going on around me in a 360, and I'm not fixated.
Yeah, Hank, hold on just a second here. We got a little bit of an issue. I'm not sure what the fuzz coming through the phone is. Not sure if it's my system or yours or what. But quick pause. And sorry about the little glitch there, folks. We had some kind of an electronic issue, but Hank is back with us again. We were talking about the gamification of any situation that may come upon us when dealing with somebody with an edged weapon, and how, especially if you're protecting your family or as Hank and others do, other friends of mine do, they protect other people for a living. And when you have your principal with you, that is your protectee, you don't have the luxury of sprinting away from the problem, because then you're not doing what you're supposed to do, especially when it comes to your family. So, Hank, take it back away. I'm sorry about the hold up there.
Yeah, no worries. So let's talk about gamification. And why we use that word is, as you're listening, you're going, gamification, what's that mean? That has created an environment for you to remember, oh, this gamification, what that means basically is play it out.
So hold up just a second. Sorry, I had to fix one more technical glitch. So talk about gamification there, Hank.
Yeah, gamification, right. So when you hear the word gamification, that's not a common word in the tactical arena. But what we mean by that, and it's going to bring you to pause, go gamification, right? Game out your tactics, meaning war room it, meaning play it out. So sometime you can be by yourself. If you're by yourself, you can react a certain way.
Right.
If you're with your family or protecting a principal or you have an informant or you have to go get an asset, well, now you can't retreat and then mount a better fight because there you have to protect somebody or you have to be there with your family. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's a different rule set for that situation. But some of the things that we want to be able to do is just imagine this, that, you see something unfolding, you don't like the way it looks, the hair on the back of your neck goes up, and immediately what we want to do is now start being a hard target and moving and mounting at the same time. So now I'm moving behind some kind of cover or concealment, ideally cover. And while I'm moving behind that to that location, I don't want to be sucked up on the cover. I want to be a little offset from it so I can use the game of angles very quickly. If I'm up on top of it, now I can't use my game of angles.
That's right. Especially what they call pieing the corner, which is something that we all teach. And so go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes. No, it's great. It's great. It's great. All right. So now that we've move to cover and concealment while getting to that position at a good pie off and standoff from that cover, we've mounted our weapon all at the same time. And while doing this, we have a solid sight picture, but that is one piece of it where we still need to be able to read all of what's going on around us in a 360 real-time snapshot.
Yes, sir.
So now the decision-making comes into play and how we can go, wait a minute, this guy's starting to flank me. What do I have to do? Or, this guy's he's bringing up his weapon system. Well, what do I need to do? Or, wait a minute, it wasn't even what I thought it was. And sometimes situations unfold in a way that, it was, teenagers doing dumb stuff. And the guy, he's mucking around with his buddy. And it wasn't a gun that was coming out. It was a phone. And he's trying to hit his friend with the phone. And this is gamification.
Right. Or worse yet, you suddenly realize there's a second assailant in the picture. And you're thinking, where did he come from? Oh, my goodness. So, well, listen, Hank. We're going to have to cut it off because we've been here for an hour talking about this, and I guarantee you and I could talk for another 3 or 4 hours. I'm not sure our audience could sit here for another 3 or 4 hours, so I want your promise right here, right now, on the program that you're going to be back on with me again soon, and we'll continue this conversation. You game?
I love it. 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 Yes.
All right, man. We'll have you back on again soon. I'm thinking probably in about 3 or 4 weeks if possible, and we'll make that happen. In the meantime, I sincerely appreciate you being here with us today and sharing your knowledge here on the air as best as you can in an audio fashion. It's hard to do without visuals, I know, but you've done an expert job at translating your thought processes here.
That's great. Yeah. These guys, if I may, they can find out more or reach out to me or the team. We have just a number of people on our team at Intuitive Self Protection, and that our website is intuitivesp.com, and I'll spell that intuitivesp.com. intuitivesp.com, and of course as well with onlineammo.com. So there you have it, man.
Fantastic. Hank, I appreciate you, brother. It's good talking to you again, and I'll be talking to you again soon, and we'll have you back on the program again soon. In the meantime, you keep your head down out there, brother, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
Yep, sounds good. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Thanks, guys, for listening.
All right, the honor has been mine. All right, that's it for this edition of the Shooting Straight Radio podcast. And you know what I'm going to say. Keep your head down. Keep your head on a swivel, especially. And also, keep your gun loaded. Keep it on your person. And never forget, incoming rounds always have the right of way. Royce and Hank out.
So turn it on.